Today, we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Oh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
I started coming into prison at the age of 40. Yeah. Yeah. So it was quite late in my life, you know. You get three hots on a cot, like, that's the old saying. Like, so you come in, you get well, and then it's insanity. You go back out and do it all over again, like, that's the power of addiction, doing the same thing over and over again and getting the same results. Once you have a first sentence, and they're just going to keep sending you back and just looking at you in the same sort of way. Like, you don't get treated that great. People that have addiction problems are just looked at the scum of the earth, like, and we're not good people. Like, just we have problems. We need to address them.
Now, that's an excerpt from Women Locked Up Inside the Docus. It's the first of a three-parter, a new documentary series to be screened on Virgin Media One starting tonight. It goes behind the walls of the Docus Centre, the women's prison located beside Mount Joy in Dublin's north inner city. Joining me in studio now is the former assistant governor of the Docus Centre, who is also a governor in Clover Hill Prison at the moment, Mary Kennedy. Mary, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, you come from an interesting background because you trained as a nurse to begin with.
That's correct. I'm a country girl. I came from County Wexford from an agricultural background, and I trained in the 1980s in St. Vincent's Hospital in Ellen Park as a nurse. And I was a nurse for about 14 years working in different hospitals in medical and surgical settings. And then in 1998, the Council of Europe had noted that there were no nurses in the prison service. So I waited for an advertisement to come up because I had an interest in working with marginalised communities. And I applied for a position as a nurse officer in the prison service. And I joined the first group of 13 nurses in March 1999, which is 25 years ago today.
Okay, so which prison were you deployed to?
I actually worked in the Curragh prison, and then I went on to the Midlands prison when the Curragh prison closed down.
And you obviously moved from nursing into more general prison management because you're an assistant governor in, you were in the Docus Centre, and now you're a governor in Clover Hill.
Well, I started, as I said, as a nurse officer in various prisons. I worked with juveniles, I worked with elderly, I worked with sex offenders. I worked in the Midlands, I came back up to Mountjoy, and I worked for a short stint in the Docus Centre as a nurse. And then I was promoted to a chief nurse officer, where I worked back with juveniles and then on to Mountjoy. And then I applied for the role of assistant governor.
Now, we want to concentrate on the Docus Centre and how different it might be from a men's prison.
It's very different.
It's purpose-built, first of all.
It is purpose-built. And coincidentally, it's also 25 years old this year as well. And originally, the Docus Centre would have been a female wing off of Mountjoy up until 25 years ago. But the idea of opening up the Docus Centre... Docus, by the way, is, as you know, the Irish for hope. So it was to give hope to female prisoners in the criminal justice system.
And prior to the new Docus Centre opening 25 years ago, was the women's prison very akin to the men's prison in terms of, you know, bars and cells and all of that?
Yes, well, prisons are primarily designed for men, whereas the Docus Centre was designed for women. And there was a necessary... it was necessary to strategically distinguish male prisoners from female prisoners. And that's now reflected internationally with the United Nations General Assembly, they brought out minimum standards called the Bangkok Rules. And that is in direct recognition that women, first of all, are very different to men. Their crimes are very different to men. And their needs are also very different to men. So probably in keeping with my own background as a nurse and the caring profession, not to ignore the fact that women are in prison because they're there for the crimes that they've committed against society and against other individuals. However, what distinguishes women from male prisoners is that they're very often victims of crime themselves. They may have been prostituted, pimped out, suffered domestic abuse. Some of them are raped. And their difficulties are different to men. They're often impoverished as well, and they often have very complex mental health issues, addiction issues. They come from a trauma background. So their needs are very different. And then for our prison, the Doka Centre, we could have women that are menopausal, that are pregnant, that have just given birth to babies. So their sexual and reproductive needs are very different to the male cohort.
The number of women you have and the age profile of the women.
So the age profile would range from 80 up to 90 years of age. We have one that has just turned 90. The profile of our women would be a little bit different to the men. They would be in their perhaps mid to late 30s. Men are slightly lower age profile. And that might just reflect their crime types as well.
So what are the typical crimes for which women are incarcerated?
That's another difference between men and women. Their crimes, they can range from petty crimes such as theft, shoplifting, public order offence, right up to and including murder. However, most of them would be petty crime, would be shoplifting. And a lot of their crimes would be reflective of perhaps their mental health state, their personal and society circumstances and addiction issues.
Addiction seems to be, from what I saw of the documentary thus far, I've seen part one of it, would seem to be at the heart of many of the problems that the women have.
That's true, Pat. A lot of the addiction, as you know, there's addiction in internationally, there's addiction in Ireland. Drugs are a scourge of the country, and that's no exception in the Dokas. So there
are. And the women themselves in the documentary refer to the revolving door, as you heard in that clip. You get cleaned up, you get great care from Dokas, then you go out and do it all again, and then you end up back up in the Doka Centre.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Lem and Lime.
Hello!
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine-free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.
Yes, it can be very circular, and that would be reflective of wider societal issues. A lot of the women will have addictions which will lead to risky lifestyle choices and then some means to feed their addictions. A lot of them will have trauma backgrounds, and that will lead them back into the criminal justice system. And as well as that, a lot of them will have mental health difficulties as well. And that's also another distinguishing factor against the male counterparts. But yes, we do see the same faces from time to time. Some we may never see again. Some, because they are victims themselves, will end up coming in with a revolving door. But we do a lot to try and help them. And one of our pillars is actually prisoner pathways.
For prisoners who have maybe a longer sentence with the females, if you compare them to the men, it's one of the tragedies of all of this is the men will normally have a female partner coming in to visit them and, you know, bringing them in stuff they need. And I'm not talking about illicit stuff. I'm talking about just creature comforts. Mm-hmm. The men will have that as their women visit them. For many of the women, their men are in the criminal justice system as well or have long since gone. and they've no one to give that kind of help and succour to them.
That's very true. In fact, when I moved to the Dorcas Centre 2.5 years ago as an assistant governor, and even after 30-odd years working myself, one of the things that really struck me was how much more impoverished female prisoners were compared to male prisoners. So for the male prisoners, very often they would have a mother, a sister, a girlfriend, a wife that will bring them up, clothing, and maybe lodge some money into their account. That's not so much the case for women. They have a lot less, and they're actually marginalised within their own marginalised setting, so that they very much rely on us when they come in. So even though they've committed crimes, and as I've said, they're often victims of crimes themselves, often they will have suffered domestic abuse. So what we try and do is rehabilitate them. But I would have, I suppose, I would share the values that a little bit of help is worth more than a lot of sympathy. So we don't just empathise with them. We show them humanity, which goes a long way, but we actually enable them and empower them and to make better lifestyle choices, to get out of that cycle. And especially when that's matched with drug addiction as well.
And for some, because of the dysfunctional nature of their previous relationships, their children may be in care.
Absolutely. And we have very close links with Tuusla. And the sadness of it is, and being a mother and a grandmother myself, I can identify that the nurture-nature bond is very, very important. The mother instinct and the grandmothers, because we do have some grandmothers in there as well, that to keep family ties and relations is very important. So we would have various organisations that come in and talk about parents under pressure, and we try and encourage family links and family visits as well. But obviously there are limitations and children come first and we can't interfere with that. But we do hold case conferences and we do try and encourage the mothering bond. And we have, at the moment, we have about 6 pregnant women in there.
And what happens when their babies are born?
Well, when their babies are born, they're supported first and foremost while they're pregnant. We have an excellent healthcare setting. It's a primary healthcare with nurses and a GP. And we've links with the Rotunda Hospital.
And that's where the baby will be born?
Yes. It's a case by case.
So a child is not born in prison?
Not born in prison. If they go into labour, they will have their prenatal classes as normal. They'll have all the supports, and there'll be case conferences. They'll be discussed at the regular multi-agency meeting. We've everybody involved, psychology.
I'm sure it has happened, though, a baby's been born because didn't make it in time to the Rotunda.
Thankfully, not so, so far. But the nurses are very well qualified, and we've a very, very good cohort of, we've very good staff in the prison, and a lot of the staff may have been parents themselves and would have a humanity towards the pregnant women. There's lots of support. And when they have their baby, then everybody's very excited. A new baby, a new life. The baby comes back to the prison generally. And as I said, it's a case by case. It's a very sensitive area, but we follow the protocol. And as I said, children come first. So we're learning as well. We involve the parents under pressure. We involve, there's a new concept as well, the early learning initiative. So new research is coming out, and from 0 to 2 years, play is very important. So we can keep a baby up to 1 year.
Okay.
But play and, you know, even textures and showing the new mother how to play with her baby is very, very important for later adult
and
life.
And if someone was due for release kind of in 6 months' time when the baby reaches one, would you hang on to the baby if you could for that 6 months so the baby and mother leave at the same time, or would likely the mother get an early release?
Not necessarily. It really is a case-by-case basis. So obviously the baby comes first. If it was something like a few days or a week, or if there was, you know, a small margin of appreciation, we wouldn't interrupt the full nature of the baby. We would also have a plan where there's a significant other person that's competent to care for the baby.
Yeah.
So we would involve that. And for example, we did have a recent mother and baby, and the grandparents were very involved. But we'd have to check all that out, and we involve psychology and probation.
I'm just thinking of the heartbreak. A woman who's serving a long sentence has a baby, and at the age of one has to say goodbye?
Well, unfortunately, we can't keep them until they're 10 or 11. So that
Nor would we want them to be educated in prison.
No. So what we do is we set it out very clearly, and we have a little compact with the mother at the very beginning, and we assess all that. We risk manage it. And we have open, frank discussions, and we have the multidisciplinary team involved in all of it along the way. And if necessary, we bring in outside agencies to help.
I was very impressed by the notion, and this is a woman who's involved in the Bridge Project, which is trying to tell people what it's, or get them ready for the outside. And she was saying that she found the Dhoka Centre a safe place, so much so that she was shoplifting to get done so she'd be back in the Dhokas.
In some ways, that's not surprising, because they can come in from very difficult life circumstances, and sometimes coming in to our care can just stop those wheels in motion. And we do have a lot of services. We can't fix everything, but we can help with mental illness treatment. We can help with addictions. We do a lot of work and training. Our educational system is superb. And we do a lot to onwardly progress them, which is one of the pillars of the new strategy from the Irish Prison Service, is care pathways.
Now, finally, a couple of things. It's a noisy place, more noisy than the men's, for whatever reason. And I also suggest there's a bit of crack in there as well. It's not, you know, misery all day, every day.
No, there's certainly a lot of banter, and there is a healthy atmosphere in there. When people think of security, security is very important, particularly physical and procedural security. We have to follow all the rules and policies set out by the prison service. However, there's also dynamic security. So we spend long periods of time with prisoners. We get to know them, we get to talk to them. And then, as I said, a little bit of humanity goes a very long way, and we'll all have remembered maybe a favourite teacher, somebody that we looked up to, and we'd hoped that during some of our brief day-to-day interventions that we'd have a very positive impact on some of the women in our care.
Well, I'd recommend that people watch the documentary series. Three Hots on a Cot, Three Hot Meals a Day and a Bed is the first one, then The Ripple Effect, and then Life After Dhokas is the third. Governor Mary Kennedy, former assistant governor at the Dhoka Centre, currently governor at Cloverhill Prison. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Today we have two very special guests on our program, introducing Len and Lime.
Hello.
For Starry Lemon Lime Soda.
Thanks for having us.
What is Starry Lemon Lime Soda?
It's a crisp, clear burst of lemon lime flavor, and it's caffeine free.
Between us, one of you must be a little more important to Starry than the other. Who is it?
We're both important.
So we could just as easily be Starry Lime Lemon Soda.
No, that doesn't sound right.
Ooh, I like it.
So you saying hip-hop could be hop-hip?
Works for me.
Starry Lemon Lime Soda. Starry hits different.